Now, the first hour of the program, we are going to be reaching out all over North America tonight and speaking to victims of something called electronic harassment. Imagine a movie script where neighborhood watch or citizen patrol groups morph into a bizarre group of control freaks equipped with highly invasive electronic equipment which can surveil and torture through walls, and where police allow this to happen. That is a definition of electronic harassment that was given to me by my first guest, who is a human rights activist, and her website, www.raven1.net, is dedicated to bringing about awareness to this issue, also acting as a conduit to disseminate information to a community of other victims of electronic harassment and gang stalking. Here to explain what electronic harassment is all about is a victim of electronic harassment herself, and as I say, a human rights activist, Eleanor White. Welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's nice to see that you have an expanded coverage of the week. Just let me, because we don't have a lot of time and we have other guests, just let me highlight four of the most invasive electronic attack effects that I've experienced and which many of our group of perhaps a couple thousand who keep in touch online experience regularly. The first is something called voice-to-skull that has been around in the public domain, unclassified, and easy to access by anyone who has enough cash to buy a radar set and hire a technician to modify it slightly.
Voice to skull.
Yeah, that's been around for 34 years.
That would allow a perpetrator to essentially broadcast a voice so that only you could hear it inside your head.
That is correct. Using a maser-type antenna, which is a microwave equivalent of a laser, you can locate the person using airport style through luggage radar, which also works through non-conductive wall materials, and locate the target, and then focus your microwave maser on that individual, and they only will hear voice all night long if you want them to.
Okay, number two.
Nighttime sleep deprivation, and the flip side of that is intense fatigue in the workplace. And that cost me my engineering career. I had to give it up because I was just getting hit so hard I was on the floor.
How do they disrupt your sleep, Eleanor?
Well, those two things can be done with a device which also operates silently through walls, which has been around for half a century. It's called the LIDA machine, and it's spelled L-I-D-A, and it's incredibly simple. It's a radio transmitter, and the frequency isn't terribly important, but what happens is when the carrier is pulsed on and off like Morse code and beamed at someone intensely. If the pulse rate is high, in the high end of normal EEG activity, it will force the person awake.
Let me just remind listeners, Eleanor White, my guest, she is a victim of electronic harassment, a human rights activist, and her website is www.raven1.net. And her website is connecting with thousands of other electronic harassment victims. How many would you say, based on the people that are in contact with you, how many individuals in North America claim to be victims of electronic harassment?
Well, the best I can answer is a survey which we took in 2002, and 12,000 people took the survey or at least visited the questionnaire. 120, which is 1 out of 100, wrote back and said they either had all the symptoms or most of them. So that's 1 in 100.
So 1% of the population?
That could mean, say, 3 million Americans, but I'm conservative. I tend to estimate it more like maybe 500,000.
Half a million, okay.
And
maybe, 10% of that, so maybe 50,000 Canadians?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So number three and four of the types of electronic harassment?
Okay, well, number three is the inverse of keeping you awake, and that's forcing you to sleep on the job so you can hardly do your job at all. That can be done by that same half-century-old medical device called the LIDA, L-I-D-A. These devices are all explained on raven1.net, by the way. Anybody who wants details can go there and look at them. Number four is electronic memory erasure over and over and over. We experience truncating of our thoughts. We'll start to develop a thought, an impulse to go do something, and then we'll totally forget what it was. That is also considered by the psychiatric industry a symptom of mental illness, but because of all the other intense electronic effects which are not related to mental illness, we consider that to be more electronic harassment. And by the way, let me say that a goodly number of our members have been forced into psychiatric care, so to speak, and a number of us have come through it with flying colors, with no mental illness. I know I'm one of them.
Well, I would imagine it would be very difficult, Eleanor, to go to a doctor or anyone in authority and claim that you're hearing voices but you're not mentally ill, to claim that you're being forced to sleep on the job, to claim that your memory is being interrupted, disrupted, and to convince them that, yes, there is technology out there that can affect these things, and that you are being targeted. But I guess here's the question, and we just got a minute here before we step away. Eleanor, why are people being electronically harassed, by whom?
My best guess, because this is so covert, this is a modern-day political agenda, much better covered up than, for example, Hitler's brown shirts. That's my guess. That is only a guess. I cannot prove it. But I will say just before the break that both doctors and police officers, a handful of heroic doctors and police officers, have confided in our members that they know this is going on, that they're under orders not to talk about it.
But when you say these individuals, these brown shirts or whomever, who are they? Who are they working for?
Well, we don't know, because all we get is the electronic effects through our walls. We don't see who's doing it, so
okay.
We can't trace anything back.
Fair enough. But so why are they focusing on Eleanor White, someone who used to work as an engineer for the U.S. Navy?
Well, we know for sure because a 12-year investigation by a private investigator named David Lawson, who published a book, Terrorist Stalking in America, with many quotes are on that website. He found that these local harassers are filled with lies constantly, such as the individual is a drug dealer, that the individual has a long criminal record, the individual is a pedophile. Even females are accused of being pedophiles. So we're not nobodies. In the sight of the people doing the harassing, we're big names in crime, and we deserve it.
In other words, these stalkers, these perpetrators who are using the electronic surveillance equipment, etc., are being sold a bill of goods. They're being told that Eleanor White, you need to harass her, drive her crazy, because we know she's a pedophile, or we know that she's a drug dealer.
On rare occasions, I've heard that come right out of the mouth of some of the people doing the harassing.
But you have no idea why the
lies are put out there? No, I do not. The only thing that makes sense, because it's a worldwide syndrome, is that this is a political agenda. I can't think of any other reason why this should be.
All right. Well, listen, we'll open up the phone lines, and maybe some of our listeners can help us sort this out. 416-872-1010. We're talking about electronic harassment, a form of mind control, as we'll discover, because there are other things involved here, including hypnosis at a distance. I mentioned talking about, you know, missing time. We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. Eleanor may be able to weigh in on that as well, because I think that is, there's an element of that involved in this electronic harassment. There's also something called gang stalking, and we'll talk about that. We're going to reach out to across North America tonight and talk to three other victims of electronic harassment and gang stalking here on the Richard Serrett Show.
He could be jumping off a roof for all I know. The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself. He needs care and treatment. And all you grave robbers think about is that he's I hit.
On News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Welcome back. Victims of electronic harassment. Eleanor White is my guest, a human rights activist, and her website, www.raven1.net. On that website, there is a questionnaire, I believe, Eleanor, where people can log on and find out if, in fact, they may be victims of electronic harassment or some sort of vigilante gang stalking and not even realize it. Other things that they could look for would be what?
Well, I've collected such factual documentation as we have to show that that both organized stalking and electronic harassment are not particularly new. That's the focus of Raven1.net. And let me say also that for people who don't like to read stuff, I took the information on Raven1.net and some other information and put it into a radio show format on another site called ShoestringRadio.net. And that is also podcast.
Okay. But okay, ShoestringRadio.net. We'll repeat that a little bit later. But I'm asking other clues. For example, I know that on your site you mention, your house is perhaps broken into, things are rearranged, almost as if there's a concerted effort to drive you up the wall.
Oh, absolutely. It's a two-pronged assault. It's electronic. On your body and mind and nervous system, and it's silent, and nobody else in the vicinity is aware of it, so that makes you look crazy. And then the same criminals have developed a very clever way of committing crimes without any danger of getting caught. What they do is they take all of life's nasty little experiences and they recreate them around the target 24/7. And a big one, of course, is noise. And if you complain too much, you're told, well, everybody has noisy neighbors. Why are you complaining?
So maybe for someone who's living in the apartment above you at 3 o'clock in the morning decides to walk across a hardwood floor in a pair of clogs.
Or drop a bowling ball.
Right.
And
so in other words, it must be such a concerted effort that the people that are living in the apartment above you are in on this. They've been recruited to harass Eleanor White and drive her over the edge.
Well, that does seem to happen, and in fact, the private detective who investigated the organized stalkers discovered that is true, that the property near the target is rented or even bought expressly for the purpose of harassment.
But these people who are being deputized, if you will, don't necessarily know the whole truth. They think that they're being used in this war against some sort of a neighborhood menace, a pervert, a drug dealer, and that they're actually doing good.
Oh, yes. They think that they're improving the world, making the world a better place.
Eleanor White is my guest. She is a human rights activist, and the website's, again, www.raven1.net, but you can also listen to her podcast, all this information in radio form, and that's at www.shoestringradio.net. And when we come back, we're going to bring in into the discussion another victim of, certainly of vigilante gang stalking, and we'll find out whether electronic harassment plays a role in that as well. We'll meet Anne, not her real name. But tonight on the Richard Serrett Show, we're going to reach out across North America and talk to a number of victims of electronic harassment. Some might even call it mind control, and we'll try and get to the bottom of this. Also, with your help, if you have any questions, comments, please come to the phones, and perhaps you yourself recognize, after hearing this, that you might also be a victim of electronic harassment. 416-872-1010, Star Talk, and toll-free from out of town, 1-800-561-CFRB. Victims of electronic harassment, mind control, vigilante gang stalking. Eleanor White, my guest, a human rights activist, and her she's been a victim of electronic harassment for how long, Eleanor?
27 years.
Must be a lonely, painful existence.
Well, it is, but it becomes more of a project of something you have to get done.
Okay, because you've sort of turned it around, and now you're stalking the stalkers. Now, I want to introduce another victim, and we're going to call her Anne, not her real name. Anne, welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, Anne, I want to let people know that the types of people that claim to be victims of electronic harassment or mind, this form of mind control are not, you know, tinfoil hat wearing lunatics. Now, can I mention what you? I'm not going to mention your name. Can I mention where you're from and what you do? Or
well. You can mention what I do. I'd
okay.
prefer if you keep the city that I'm from.
Can I mention where roughly the Ontario, Quebec?
Ontario.
Okay, I can mention you're from Ontario and that you're a writer?
Yes, I am.
A journalist?
I was a journalist.
A published author?
Yes.
Okay. So what sort of things did you write about previously?
Oh, previously I've covered all kinds of things. I was a reporter for several daily newspapers. I used to write for business sections, and actually the book that I published was about adult literacy issues.
So just a normal career person. Now, what time is tight, but what happened to you that led you to become a victim of mind control or electronic harassment?
I noticed you were asking Eleanor the why question, and that always leads us to all kinds of broad speculation. I can tell you that it started about just over a year ago, and that I was aware of it. And in my case, there's a lot of mobbing by car that's involved in this as well. So that I noticed first the physical, what we call gang stalking, or it would be other people would call it mobbing by car. And I had just started a new job, and the very first day of my new job, I was escorted to work by literally dozens of cars, and I was meant to see these people. They would wear things to distinguish themselves. They would all be wearing the same kinds of hats, have the same kind of things hanging from the rearview mirrors, and I would be literally surrounded on the road all the way. I take the 401 as part of my journey to work. And boxed in, my speed would be controlled, I'd be tailgated. It was quite horrific, and it went on for months, both all the way to work and all the way back.
Had you ever heard of anything like electronic harassment or vigilante gang stalking prior?
No, actually, I had no idea what I was experiencing. I just knew it was bizarre and very hurtful. And I was bewildered.
What else, aside from just stalking you, were they verbally abusive, or did you feel physically threatened?
There were several attempts made to run me off the road. So in that way, I was physically threatened, and it was quite terrifying. And I think the only reason that they didn't succeed is because I'm a good and experienced driver. I'm in my 50s, and I've been driving since I was 16.
How did your family and friends react when you told them, if you told them?
Took me a while to tell them. Before I kept hoping it would just stop, and Eleanor will chuckle at that because she knows it doesn't. Some of my friends decided that I was nuts, and we had a falling out, and then I decided that I needed to have my friends in my life, so that we just made a pact not to discuss it. But I also found other people who had experienced the same thing, including Eleanor, who I'd met.
Is this how you sort of discovered what was going on through Eleanor White's website? And
yes, actually, they're just experiencing what's called gang stalking, and go to this website. So I did, and that led me to other websites, and eventually to meet Eleanor and other people who have experienced the same thing.
And my technical producer was very quick on the dump button, so we managed to preserve your anonymity, so no
Thank
one heard.
You.
What you said.
Thank
okay.
you.
But I want to repeat that Anne is a journalist, and this is a, you know, not, as I said earlier, a tinfoil hat wearing lunatic. And as we're discovering, there are more and more people out there who are claiming to be victims of whether it's electronic harassment or this gang stalking.
They often go together,
Richard,
I might say. Yeah.
Okay, does it in your case, Anne? Is there an element?
Yes, it does, and it took me a while to clue in. I was talking to another targeted individual, and she was describing her symptoms, and I said, oh, that's funny. That happens to me. I wake up at several times a night at exactly the same time. And I started to take more careful note of it now, and I could almost set my watch by it. And I also notice that my legs are going into spasm in the middle of the night. This would wake me up, and I'd suddenly be standing up beside the bed, pounding my legs to get them out of spasm. And but when I was driving my car, I was getting vibrations in the same spot, exactly the same place in my back, on the 401, on my way home from work, every night for months.
Anne is a victim of vigilante gang stalking. Eleanor White as well stays with us. She is a human rights activist, and her websites, shoestringradio.net and raven1.net, dispense information about electronic stalking, gang stalking. Eleanor, feel free to jump in with comments at any time. And maybe I'll throw this question out to both of you. I sort of mentioned to Eleanor earlier, it must be a lonely existence. I mean, Anne, do you feel at some point that you don't even want to tell anybody about it anymore because they just roll their eyes? I mean, has it led to you becoming ostracized within your own community and family?
No, actually, my family absolutely believe me. My mother, who is elderly but still around and still in possession of all her faculties, believed me from the get-go because she knows her daughter. My daughters at first were skeptical, and then one of them, the one that lives in the same town where I live, when we were driving around together, began to see the gang stalkers herself.
Oh.
They are so obvious that you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to see them. And so that was it. Then she was totally on board. I have met other individuals, some in my church, some in different places, who do believe me. And I did get ostracized, or I ostracized myself for a while, and then I thought, no, I have to survive. And I know Eleanor can relate to this, too. And so one of the best ways because lies are spread about us, one of the best ways to counter the lies is to give people an opportunity to know who you really are. And so you have to get out in the community and be as active and interact with people as much as you possibly can.
Eleanor, are you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. And what sort of lies were being spread about you and your community?
Oh, I'm a pedophile. I'm not, of course,
mm-hmm.
but it took me a long time to figure out how that one got going, but I noticed that people were spitting at me, glaring at me. It was horrific, particularly women. And I thought, what is going on? Well, then I had with the book I wrote, had a website up on it, and it was actually a police officer who pointed out to me and my co-author that someone had tacked a link into that book of the most horrific pornography. It was rape and incest porn. And it was right over my name, address, phone number, and email.
And did you lose work as a result of these accusations?
No, I was very lucky. I don't believe my employer knew about it, but I made sure that my employer knew about it myself and told them the steps I was taking to try and get it down. It was the most difficult thing because we couldn't get the RCMP, who I phoned as soon as I found out, to label it as child pornography. And to me it looked like it was, but they said it didn't meet their standards as such, so they could do nothing. But we finally begged and pleaded that we got we got our own carrier to take it right down. They were horrified. It was actually a federal government agency that had been hosting the site. And then we got Yahoo with barraging them with faxes and phone calls to finally take the whole site down.
Unbelievable. Anne, I want to thank you for sharing this. And Eleanor, if you can stay with us, we'll hear next from a gentleman down in Cincinnati, Ohio, who is the director of a group regarding electronic harassment. And also we'll hear from Beth out in San Diego. Again, not her real name, but Eleanor, you stay with us. And Anne, thank you for this. We're talking about victims of electronic harassment. If it's happened to you, give us a call.
Richard Serrett Show continues.
And you will not take me off the air for now or for any other spaceless time.
On News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Welcome back. We're talking about electronic harassment, victims of this insidious form of mind control. Vigilante gang stalking is another element. Eleanor White, human rights activist, and a victim of electronic harassment for nearly 30 years, stays with us. We're now joined on the line from Cincinnati, Ohio, by the director of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, Derek Robinson, down in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Oh, thank you for having me here, Richard.
And Derek, we should point out that you actually organized rallies in Washington over this issue. Are there any friends in Washington who are actually on side, Eleanor, to you, any friends in Ottawa that say, yes, this is going on and we'll try to get to the bottom of it?
Richard, just let me mention that we only have about half a dozen each of doctors and police who have acknowledged it. And I'll let Derek talk about his work attempting to get the attention of U.S. Congress.
Go ahead, Derek.
Okay. Basically, we're still in the process of talking to Congress about this issue. We've had several meetings with congressional members over the past 2 years. Over the past two summers, we've met with congressional officials in Washington for about a week at a time. As yet, we have just maybe one congressional office that we're speaking to that does indeed believe us and is trying to help us. So we're trying to continue that, trying to broaden that success at this time.
Derek, are you, aside from being the director from Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, are you also a victim of electronic mind control?
I'm a victim of the gang stalking, the organized stalking that you're referring to.
And what form has it taken in your case?
In my case, it's mostly, there's street theater. There is interruption and interference in my personal affairs. There's harassment, continual harassment 24/7. There's monitoring of my activities 24/7, whether I'm at home or away from home. People are following me around and doing whatever they can to interrupt my day in any way they can.
What is street theater?
Street theater is basically something that people do in the presence of a target of organized stalking. It's kind of they're acting out a scene in such a way to convey a message, and the person, the targeted individual, will understand what the purpose of the message is.
Can you give me an example in your case?
It would be something as maybe two people carrying on a conversation about a situation that is happening ongoing in my life that day, and a conversation I might have had earlier that day, and then someone else might be seeing that same conversation repeated with a different slant in such a way that this person or these people that are acting out the scene are influencing the direction of these events in some way.
Eleanor and Derek, to either of you, both of you respond. Am I right in suggesting that the aim of this harassment, stalking, seems to be to drive you crazy?
Exactly. I would say so. That's exactly what that's the phrase I've heard used, that someone is one target specifically told me that when he was at the very first time he was getting introduced to this situation, that a group of guys he was just kind of chummy with said, asked him, kind of challenged him by saying, "Do you want to see how we drive people crazy?" And that's the phrase he used.
Eleanor, those victims that have been driven crazy, I mean, do you hear from them? What is the, tell us the sort of the worst case scenario. Do these people end up in mental institutions? I'm guessing there may be some suicides.
Yes, both suicides and mental hospital. But and I'm talking from a group of about 2,000 with whom I've interacted over 11 years. I've been online and talking to other targets. But it's interesting, most people have really resilient personalities, and they just dig their heels in, and they will not be destroyed by this. They might be destroyed financially. They might even be made homeless, but their spirit isn't broken. It's the kind of thing that a dictator would like the general public to be, hopeless and powerless, and that seems to be what they're working towards.
Eleanor White is a human rights activist, a victim of electronic harassment. Derek Robinson is the director of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, also a victim of gang stalking. I get the two of you to stay put. What we'll do is, if Eleanor, with your permission, we'll carry this over to the top of the hour for a segment or two, and I know we've got another victim standing by down in San Diego. We'll get her on after the top of the hour. We're talking about electronic harassment and gang stalking, a form of mind control. We're not sure who the perps are. We're not exactly sure the reasons certain individuals are being targeted and others are not. Perhaps you are yourself being targeted. We'll welcome you to the phone lines, and we'll try to work in a few calls as well at 416-872-1010. Star Talk, toll-free from out of town, 1-800-561-CFRB. The Richard Serrett Show continues in a moment on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Stay with us.
Just because of paranoia doesn't mean everyone's not out to get me.
You're listening to The Richard Serrett Show.
And who killed the president?
Oh, man, why don't you stop it? This is too big for you. You know that? This is... Who did the president? It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. Shooters don't even know. Don't you get it?
On News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Victims of electronic harassment, a form of mind control, people being driven to madness, victims of gang stalking, street theater, people's characters being sullied by false accusations, drug dealers, pedophiles, ostracized in their own communities. And for what reason? We're not sure. And who are the perpetrators? Again, we're not sure. Eleanor White is a human rights activist, a victim of electronic harassment for some 30 years. Derek Robinson, down in Cincinnati, Ohio, is the director of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, also a victim of gang stalking. Earlier we heard from a journalist right here in Ontario, not too far from Toronto, a reputable journalist who wrote for daily newspapers right here in the city, likewise a victim of gang stalking. A little bit later, after the top of the hour and the news with John Elston, we'll go out to San Diego and hear from a critical care nurse who is also a victim of harassment. Derek and Eleanor, Derek, you mentioned, or someone mentioned a while ago, that these perps, particularly in the gang stalking, almost appear to be wearing uniforms. Any idea, are there badges? Do we know what are these uniforms? What do they look like?
Well, what I've noticed, they're different in different areas. They dress differently. From what I have noticed, those around me are ball caps, are very common, blue jeans, maybe flannel shirts, something that's very common. Some of them. But there is a wide range of economic strata as far as the perpetrators. But what is easily recognizable for me are those that wear the ball caps. I instantly, basically because, you know, I'm working class, the people around me tend to be that way. And those that come around me dress in this particular manner.
Do you ever confront them, Derek? Try to take their picture?
Some people do that, you know, take their picture, and I think I should do that more often. I haven't as yet, but I tell you, the times that I have, it has been unnerving for them. I know this one guy was on the bus. There's one particular guy, I call him the bus perp, because he rides with me whenever they're about to do something. If I'm planning a project, I can count on this one particular individual showing up on the bus. One time I did take his picture, and he kind of squirmed in his seat, kind of hit his head, placed his hands, kind of up in the air because he knew I had a camera. There was another guy that rides the bus who I also suspect strongly of being a perp. He saw the camera, and he kind of looked real nervous, too. They do not want to be exposed.
Derek, again, the website for your group is www.freedom.com. www.fchs.com?
That's correct.
Okay, and if people want to get a hold of you for more information, if they suspect they're also a victim of gangland or gang stalking or electronic harassment,
there is a voicemail number 1-866-310-3117.
866-310-3117. 866-310-3117. Derek,
that's correct.
Thank you for this.
You're welcome.
All right. Derek Robinson is with Freedom. Let me get that name right here. Eleanor, can you help me? Freedom from Covert Harassment. Okay, and surveillance. Thank you. So Derek Robinson, we thank him. Eleanor White will stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from a critical care nurse in San Diego, also a victim of electronic harassment.
We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people, you're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off!
Brainwashed in our childhood. Brainwashed by the school. Brainwashed by our teachers. Brainwashed by all the rules. Brainwashed by our leaders. By our kings and queens. Brainwashed in the open. Brainwashed behind the scenes.
This is the Richard Serrett Show on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Daily unexplainable harassment, break-ins at home, work and car, thefts and sabotage just below a cost where police will act. Vicious, well-organized rumor campaigns, destruction of reputation, career and relationships. Unusual medical symptoms for which doctors find no cause. Well-organized, very cleverly engineered 24/7 harassment by vigilante-style stalking gangs. Activities of which are ignored and denied by all levels of government. If any of this sounds familiar, you may be a victim of a well-orchestrated form of harassment, whether it takes the form of electronic harassment or gang-style harassment. That's what we're discussing right now on the Richard Serrett Show. Eleanor White, human rights activist, stays with us. She is a victim of electronic harassment for nearly 30 years, has been vigilant in trying to fight back. And her websites, raven1.net and shoestringradio.net, really act as a beacon for other victims of electronic harassment. We've heard from a former journalist here in Ontario who suffered from gang stalking. We just heard from Derek Robinson down in Cincinnati, who is with an organization called Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. And now we're going to hear from a woman named Beth, not her real name, down in San Diego, who has not only been the target of gang stalking or organized stalking, but she's also been subjected to a wide range of energy weaponry, such as lasers and acoustics, and even has been subjected to two severe police beatings when attempting to make reports of related criminal activities and direct police intimidation and warnings about making those reports. Beth, welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Eleanor White is with us as well, if you'd like to say hello to Eleanor.
Hello, Eleanor. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, Beth. Nice to hear you on the air.
And again, Eleanor, just feel free to jump in at any time here as you're sort of shepherding me through this. Beth, you are a former critical care nurse.
Correct.
You have degrees in life science and in business administration.
Correct.
When did you first suspect that you might be targeted for electronic harassment?
Electronic harassment started in approximately 2001 here in San Diego, California. It was instituted openly by a neighbor who bragged that he had connections in the military intelligence units. He was a former military intelligence in some way affiliate himself. He bragged that he had law enforcement connections, and he told me that he was going to give me what he thought I deserved for whistleblowing on a very petty local community crime that I inadvertently stumbled upon. And subsequent to his threat, he began a campaign of electronic harassment on me in my house, which included my dog, and I suffer the effects of that to this day.
What are the effects, and what form of harassment, electronic harassment, was it?
These effects that I'm talking about are their neurological, their vision, their voice difficulties. I have abnormalities in blood tests. Some of the things that I was subjected to were evaluated and determined by experts in their field, such as acoustic engineers, electrical engineers. Microwaves were detected strongly in my home. I had an special forces officer from the UK evaluate my environment, and he determined extremely high frequencies being projected towards my home from two neighbors and cars around my home. Some of the effects are things that appear to be very similar to other things, only they're caused by directed energy technologies. I have affidavits from people who have experienced the same thing in my environment, which includes electronics that are fried, SIM cards that are fried. It's not simply a biological thing. It's also an electronic effect.
So they try to disrupt your electronics, your computers, etc.
That's correct. And what they do is they burn. They don't just malfunction. You can visually see fried components in telephones, computers, video camera recorders, telephone SIM cards. It's across the board.
Beth from San Diego, not her real name, a victim of electronic harassment, a former critical care nurse. We're talking with her, as well as Eleanor White, a human rights activist and likewise a victim of electronic harassment. Eleanor, let me ask you, how common is it for the perp to be so brazen as to identify themselves and to admit to what they're doing?
Well, from what I've heard and read over my 11 years, it's not very common. Most of us, the perps, are very cowardly. They operate from behind closed doors. And this is why I recommended Beth as a guest, because she has such a professional background and is able to, produce quality information. And she's had a very wide range of exceptionally brazen harassment.
Well, here's what I don't understand, and Beth, maybe you can help me out here with this as well. Your perp actually admitted to the reason he was doing this, I don't know if I would characterize it as a minor whistleblowing episode on some local or community circumstance. To me, Eleanor, Beth, that doesn't make sense. Is that just a cover story?
No, let me clarify. It involved wrongdoing that was taking place with his children, who also were neighbors, his adult children. And so he was and is an alcoholic and very unpredictable and volatile, gets into a lot of vindictive behavior, and I stood up to him. And it was the escalation of that incident that actually escalated to that point. That wasn't the entire story, but that was the beginning of what became the circumstance.
So in this case, you're being picked on by a specific individual. This isn't necessarily part of a larger conspiracy that might, for example, be targeting people like Eleanor or some of our previous guests.
No, from what I've seen, because of the participation of a large number of strangers, I would say that it fits the characteristics of everyone else's scenarios as well. Only the fact that these people are fearless in my circumstance But in the context of my life, I live in a private community where we have private homes, private roads, we own the streetlights, the streets. It's a 71-home enclave in San Diego County suburbs. It's very exclusive, and it gives these people certain liberties they wouldn't have. We don't have through traffic. We don't have businesses. We have environment, a lot of space and view where we live. So these people have free reign. There's no one. The laws are such that the police department isn't even permitted to drive through unless they're called on a crime. This is a private development, and that gives them an exclusive ability to do this kind of thing behind a very large closed door, so to speak.
Eleanor, could much of this electronic harassment that we're talking about take place without the cooperation of the local police departments?
Well, I'd say the electronic part probably could. The organized stalking, you'd have trouble doing that without police cover. And let me just say, you know, about Beth, this whistleblowing thing is one of the major reasons people get into it. And you may want to consider having geoscientist Loren Moray from the San Francisco area on as a guest at some point. She's a well-known activist against depleted uranium abuse, and she's also targeted because she blew the whistle at Livermore Labs. So what I'm saying is what Beth is relating here is not uncommon among our members.
These vigilante gangs, to what extent are they networked? For example, and Beth, you can answer this perhaps, or Eleanor, either of you, if a victim decides to get out and move to another town, does that stop the harassment? Can it?
Go, Beth.
Okay. I have not heard of anyone who tried it who succeeded. Now, it's possible that people who have succeeded would not then come back and tell everyone of their success. But of all the people who have tried it, including myself, it has not been successful. And we see a loose affiliation of various cells, various demographics, all across the world doing the same methodology of harassment, whether they are motorcycle clubs or military clubs or hate groups or Christian radicals. There are reports of the same methodology just reproduced around the world. So when you go somewhere, if it's not already there, it will be established around the target in many cases.
All right. Beth in San Diego, I want to thank you for your time and for sharing this horrific story. And Eleanor White, always a pleasure. Again, Eleanor, your website is www.raven1.net and also shoestringradio.net. Encourage anyone who suspects they may be a victim of electronic harassment or gang stalking to check out those websites. Eleanor and Beth, I'm going to continue on in your stead for till the bottom of the hour here. A few people on the line who want to discuss this as well. So we'll step away here momentarily and come back, and we'll speak to Gretchen on the line, who believes she too is a victim of electronic harassment. The Richard Serrett Show continues on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
You're listening to The Richard Serrett Show.
CIA and the Mafia working together, trying to whack out the beer, mutual interest. They've been doing it for years. It's more than you could dream.
On News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Much of this is difficult to believe. How would you react if someone came up to you and said, I hear voices in my head, but I'm not mentally ill. There's someone breaking into my apartment and moving things around, but I call the police and they won't do anything. There are people sitting outside my window keeping me up at night, and I confront them, and they deny it. Hard to believe, but something is going on. How else to explain the thousands and thousands of people who are claiming to be victims of electronic harassment, gang stalking? We've heard from some people tonight all over North America, Cincinnati, San Diego, a journalist here in Ontario, a critical care nurse in San Diego. And Eleanor White, I was going to let you go, Eleanor, but you actually were going to help me out here in just a moment. After the bottom of the hour, I want to talk about time warps. Things that have happened to you where time tends to play a trick on you. Perhaps you are going to make a trip from point A to point B, a trip you normally takes you 20 minutes, and the next time you try it, driving the same rate of speed, et cetera, you find that 2 hours have gone by, and you can't account for the missing time. Something similar happened to me, and I'll share that with you. But before we do that, I want to speak to Gretchen, who's been holding on. Gretchen called in to talk about electronic harassment and gang stalking. She says this is real, and she's experienced it as well. Gretchen, welcome to the Richard Serrett Show and News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Oh, hi, Richard.
Yes, Gretchen.
Oh, it's Gletcher.
Okay.
But I wanted to say first, congratulations on your babies.
Thank you very much.
And this is from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate that.
I wish the best to all of them, all of you.
Thank you.
I have suffered, my family have suffered a great deal from all of this for many, many years. We had people like we went to the human rights to tell them about the problems that we were receiving many years ago, and they did not do anything to help.
What was happening specifically?
For instance, the place we just moved into a year or two ago, there were these huge flies that were just flying around in the middle of winter, right by the windows, and every time we killed one, another one came in. We used to let them all out, but they kept coming in all the time.
So someone was releasing these flies into your apartment?
We believe using black magic, whatever it is. And then they started sending out sugar bees. Then it was wasps.
In the middle of winter in your apartment?
In the middle of winter in this apartment. And I'll tell you something. The way we are living now, we were pushed here by the establishment who decided that we shouldn't stay in a motel protesting about the ills that our society. And they threw us out at Christmas, around Christmas, and we ended up being forced here because we did not want to take another place. They told us we have to take care, and they pushed us here and told us when we tried to reach the media, no one was available. So we ended up having to come here, find that in the winter we're either burning up or freezing. The place does not stay medium. It's not balanced. And then the electronic bugs are another thing. And we're hearing, whenever we turn the radio on, we're finding different people in the media literally telling us off or speaking about something we just spoke of an hour or two ago.
You suspect your house is being bugged?
Oh, no, we don't suspect. We know that.
You know.
It has been happening for some time.
Okay.
For quite a while.
All right. Galactic, let me just get Eleanor in here. Eleanor, do you suspect that the occult plays any role in this?
Well, let me say this, Richard. Personally, being an engineer, I'm a retired engineer, there are a lot of things that we cannot explain using ordinary science. And so my official answer is I don't know how they're done, but I can tell you this, that having bugs appear out of nowhere is not unheard of. It's I won't say everyone gets it, but it's not uncommon. And especially wasps. I was plagued by wasps in a 24th floor apartment, and normally they don't fly up that high. But I couldn't go out on the balcony because every time they did, the balcony would fill up with wasps. And now, in terms of bugs, to the best of my knowledge, none of our members has ever found a single bug or camera in their house. That's been confirmed. They found some odd things which are not bugs or cameras. And they, on inspection later, they can see that it's just something ordinary.
Okay, I've got to run here. Galaxia, thank you for your call.